Chapter 3. I am the worst father in the history of the multiverse. New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date, February 29, 2020. Subject, I am the worst father in the history of the multiverse. Hey, Julie. Okay, so the good news first. The multiverse didn't collapse. Well, not yet. The bad news? I have pigeon shit on my head. No, really, it gets much, much worse, babe. The bad news is truly awful. But I figured I'd start off easy with a little pigeon shit joke to kind of build up to the slow reveal of what's really going on. Not that the pigeon thing was a joke, like made up ha-ha. It really did happen. That stupid bird pooped directly on my head while it was sailing through the blue skies of New York City, dropping its dung missile with absolutely uncanny aim. I just thought that might help delicately introduce the true nature of how fucked we are, how you may never see any of us again, how our dimension might not even exist anymore, at least the 2020 version of it, and how the whole fabric of the multiverse is starting to unravel and we have no fucking clue how to stop it. Oh, whoops, I kind of just told you the whole awful thing anyway, didn't I? All right then, yes, I am writing to you to apologize, once again, for being me, and this time it's worse. No, it's the worst. Because our progeny is with me, our little bumpkinhead Gigi, and my idiocy has reached new and unparalleled heights, or is it depths? And I admit that through two whole novel-length books I have not really learned anything. I mean, I've learned a lot about love, a whole lot about that, more than could fill 1,000 books, but nothing practical, like how not to be a bonehead, or prevent easily preventable things like multiverse-destroying paradoxes from happening. I'm sorry. I can't take any of it back, but maybe by hearing the whole story, you'll find it in your heart to forgive me. Yes, that was rhetorical. Even if you still exist, you will never forgive me, and rightly so. Anyway, here's what happened. 1. Gigi walks into dimension 234-698-594-394-683, aka home, but between Tesla's legs into the year 1947. This creates a paradox. We don't know what a paradox looks like, just the metaphor of a sleeve of Ritz crackers smashing together, or how fast it is, or really anything about it yet. I was sincerely hoping all we had to do was apologize politely to the paradox, and it would forgive us with a hearty, off you go, no worries, mates. But I tried that, and nothing happened. 2. We wait for a few minutes to see if the multiverse collapses. It doesn't. So far, okay. Maybe this paradox thing isn't so bad after all. 3. Tesla closes the door and asks me to try it. I open it, expecting 2020, of course, but no, 1947. Fuck. I don't actually say fuck. Come on, give me some credit. Gigi's with us. Pete's like, maybe you're doing it wrong. So I'm like, you try it, Mr. Do-Right. So he does, and the same thing, 1947. Ugh. So I'm like, see? And he's like, don't get all smarmy with me, dude. Your kid broke the multiverse, not mine. Oh, really? That's how it's going to be. My kid broke it. She did. I go to shove him, but stop. Actually, you're right. I turn to Gigi. Bad Gigi, you broke the multiverse. She just looks up at me, doe-eyed. Motive? Whatever, you're just a kid. You can't even control your own bowels yet. Although, come to think of it, neither can I. Okay, next. 4. So we try it every which way, we even have Bobo do it, and every time, 1947. Bobo's like, stuck fuck, and we all practically shove our fists into his mouth to keep Gigi and Hannah from hearing it and adding it to their rapidly growing vocabulary of swear words. 5. I give up. The paradox has us stuck here in 1947. So, 1947 it is. Okay, Nicola, which chair do I sit in while I wait 5 more minutes for you to figure this out? I plop myself down in the one by the big desk, the cozy-looking high-backed leather armchair, which I immediately regret because this one appears to my nose to be Tesla's farting chair. Cheap, I would not get too comfortable. I would plan, in fact, to be here for quite some time, until we establish the scope of the paradox, its rate of speed, and devise a possible solution. Don't have to ask me to get out of that chair twice. I bound up, letting poor Gigi and Hannah climb onto it instead. They don't seem to smell the old man's past 3 decades of digested meals, or don't mind it at least. Good for them. So, Nicola, if we're here for the duration, we're going to have to fit in with the locals. Any words I need to know other than Keen and Berries and Jake and Bee's Knees? Bee's Knees. Crap. Hey, Bobo, look over there. I throw a paperclip across the room, and Bobo is distracted just long enough to forget he was about to repeat Bee's Knees 1,000,000 times until we all strangled him. It's a little trick I picked up over the past couple of years. Pretty proud of that one, actually. I get an approving nod from Pete. Tesla wags his finger. No chip. You don't need to learn any mid-20th century vernacular. Cool. Because we won't be leaving this room. Whoa, not cool. What the hell? Heck. I mean, what the heck? Pete points out the window. Yeah, we're going to need some fresh air. Soon. No offense. I suppose I have never had the reason to tell you this, gentlemen, why we cannot leave this room. But now I must. Master Chip, do we come from the same dimension? Ooh, a quiz. My final answer is yes. How many points do I get? He ignores me and turns to Pete. And Master Pete, does each dimension have its own single timeline? Pete, still staring outside, shrugs. Why are you asking me? It does. And while on the same timeline, Chip, if I were to affect a future event from here in 1945, say by convincing your mother to move away from New York before she met your father. Hey, why would you do that? That's just mean. Why wouldn't you tell Pete's mother to do that? Pete whirls around. Hey! Men, it was just an example. I would never do such a thing. But if I did, what would happen? It begins to dawn on me the terrible problem presented by different people on different parts of the same timeline using the ITA. I had honestly never thought about it. If you convinced my mom to move away and she didn't meet my dad, I wouldn't be here, would I? Tesla raises a finger. Exactly. So, Nicola, what are you telling me? He looks sheepishly around the room, then back to me. And for the first time, I really look around at all the little details. The empty Ritz cracker boxes, the clothes piled to the ceiling, the stacks of newspapers. And I smell the unmistakable smell of an old man who takes care of himself alone, in this room, and never leaves. You've avoided creating ripples in the future timeline of our dimension by never leaving this room, Nicola? You don't go outside? Ever? He shakes his head. How do you eat? Do your laundry. Drop your friends off at the pool. My friends at the pool? I point to my butt. You know. Ah, another colorful slang term from your era. My toilet works, Master Chip. As for food and outside utilities, I have found nearby dimensions using the ITA to fill those needs. Dimensions where my presence does not pose a future threat. In fact, I have made quite a name for myself in several, amassing enough wealth to pay off the rent in this room in a lump sum for the next 30 years. The New Yorker Hotel was thrilled with the cash infusion, and it gave them reason to ignore the remaining inquiries from the FBI. They haven't asked a question since. Chip, listen. Since my return, I understood that dimension 234-698-594-394-683 had gone on without me, believing me dead. Your own records indicate as such. So I have lived here, occasionally sneaking out at night to feed my pigeons, instructing the hotel employees to never interact with me or disturb this room, even for cleaning.
I can see that.
I turn to look around some more, but then turn back. Hey, wait, pose a future threat? You mean you've been holed up in this room alone for 2 years now just to protect us? He smiles and puts his hand on my shoulder. It has been my honor. Look, just look at your beautiful children.
No, that's bullshit. I look over at Gigi and Hannah. Sorry, girls.
Back to Tesla.
But it is. We've been keeping you a prisoner here, all alone.
I have my pigeons. And like I said, I spend as much time as I like in my neighboring dimensions. Do not feel sorry for me.
I don't feel sorry for you. You should have told me.
A rumble shakes the room. Tesla scratches his chin. God, Nicola, can I just tell you I really don't like it when you say hmm anymore? It becomes this cue that something really, really bad is going to happen. Like every single time lately. I won't even say it anymore. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Now, what the hell was that?
Heeb-jeeb.
Shut up, Bobo. Nicola, what was that? Tesla cautiously steps towards the ITA doorway, leans down, then kneels at the side of the doorway and squints.
Nicola? I apologize.
Here at the corner of the interdimensional transfer apparatus doorway, the wallpaper is peeling back.
So this place isn't exactly in mint condition, no offense.
None taken. But Master Chip, please, take a look for yourself.
Julie, it's one of those moments from the movies. Everyone stops what they're doing. Bobo stops picking lint off his fur. Gigi and Hannah stop playing Who Can Be More Annoying, a game I taught them, by the way. I'm the master, of course, but you knew that already. Pete just slowly turns to watch me as I plod the death march to witness something terrible, something from a nightmare, something I do not want to see, but I have to see. I lean down, eyes shut now. Man, is there a way this can be something quick and painless? Something that'll answer our big question, which is, how the fuck do we get home? I slowly open my eyes and, yep, peeling wallpaper. No biggie. Hey, Pete, pass me some tape. Tesla doesn't even say a word. He just pushes my head down a little so I can see from his angle. Oh, no. Oh, my God, no. Have you ever wondered what a paradox looks like? Stop wondering and put on your adult diapers.